Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
So we're a week away from Halloween, and I'm wondering how many bags of candy you have gone through already. I actually said that I was not going to purchase my candy until today. That way it wasn't sitting around my house and I wasn't going to eat it. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty proud of myself. I've only eaten a couple of handfuls of candy corn, and I've been good. I've been really, really good. So speaking of good, we've got a good show for you today on Mom Talk Radio. Lots of really fantastic experts that's going to try to steer some sanity into our life. And speaking about finding sanity, I've got to boast for just a second, because tomorrow I depart to Jamaica for a beaches resort vacation. And I'm not sure if you've ever been to a beaches resort, but they are fantastic for kids because everything is included. You don't even have to take your wallet. I mean, you have to take a credit card just to check into your room for incidentals, but you'll never spend any money there. And if your kids, one likes one restaurant and one likes another, you can go wherever you want. They have, some of them have 19 different restaurants on the resort, so you're never going to get bored with the cuisine. Just a really great, great place. I'm going to Negril, Jamaica, and they have a partnership with Sesame Street. So they have Sesame Street parades, and they have kids activities and a kid camp. So if you feel like going off and taking advantage of the free sailing or the free water skiing by yourself, you can do that and put your kids in the free Sesame Street camp. But anyways, so next week, that's one of the reasons I'm not eating candy corn, is I have to fit into a bathing suit. But next week, you'll probably hear that extra little, hey, mon, in my dialect. And I'll certainly be a lot more relaxed than I am today as I try to find everything I need to pack to leave tomorrow. Anyways, we are a week away from Halloween, and I don't know if you caught it, but it's the 50th anniversary of the Charlie Brown special. And a friend of mine and I were just talking about, remember when they were called a special because you could only watch them on a certain day of the year? And my kids don't get that concept. They're like, what do you mean? Charlie Brown only came on once a year. And I'm like, yeah, really? Now you can watch it every single day on Netflix anytime you want. You want the Christmas special? Great. You watch it. The Grinch That Stole Christmas? You watch it in the middle of July. Just go to Netflix or YouTube. Anyways, I love those days when a special was a special. And we all had to wait a whole 365 days to watch it again, but not so much with technology. Speaking of technology, there is and new products and new ways of doing things. I want to thank our sponsor, Premama. Premama is the prenatal vitamin. It's a powder form that goes into your cold drink or your smoothie, even your yogurt. It's a great new way to take your prenatal vitamins. And for you moms who are pregnant, check out Mother Nurture. You can go to their website, madebymothernurture.com. They have launched a whole line of vitamin enhanced waters, flavored waters for the prenatal set, and chocolate truffles, and oh, yummy. They are so good. I had the opportunity to taste some myself, and gotta tell you, really, 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 really good. So check them out. You can go to madebymothernurture.com. So when we return, we're going to get right into our show with some of our fantastic guests. When we return, we're going to be talking with Mark Manson. He is a star blogger who has done some work in the personal development website for men and women. And his book has a very interesting name, but I'm going to wait until we come back to tell you what it is.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
Mark Manson, our first guest, is a star blogger whose personal development website is read by over 2 million people a month. That's 2 million. His in-your-face advice is a pleasure to read, makes great sense, and will teach you how to only care about what is important to you. And that's a lesson that a lot of moms tend to forget. We put other people ahead of us. He has written a new book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F, a counterintuitive approach to living a good life. And we're thrilled to have him with us today. So welcome, Mark, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So clearly your mother never taught you not to use the F word, but I like the way you use it.
Best.
So tell me what is the subtle art of not giving an F?
Basically, it's a very irreverent and vulgar way to get people to think about their values. What's important to them? What matters to them? What are they choosing to find important in their life? Because often a lot of what we experience is a lot of stress and anxiety really comes down to simply having the wrong priorities, caring too much about the wrong things.
What do people do about that? I just wonder, like, if you don't care about what other people think or you're focusing on what's important to you, there's got to be a boundary around that, right?
Yeah, and it's one of the first things I talk about in the book is that there's no such thing as not giving an F, mm-hmm. period. You know, like, we all have to care about something. So the important question is, what are we choosing to care about? And I wanted to write this book because I think a lot of personal development advice out there, self-help advice, it's focused so much on just making people feel better, you know, getting mm-hmm. rid of the anxiety, feeling more successful, feeling happier, that it's missing the important component of actually looking at why people are feeling certain ways. Like, If you're feeling anxious all the time, maybe it's because you're simply worrying about something that's not, you think something's important that's actually not that important.
Right. Sometimes we don't look at the high level of life. What do you think should be important to people?
Well, I think it's, what I argue in the book is kind of a return to simplicity. And so basic things, health, quality relationships with friends and family, and simply doing something that you feel that you're good at and that you feel is useful to the people around you. And I think in this day and age with all the social media and 500 channels on DVR and all this stuff, like, I think it's very easy for people to lose sight of that. It's very easy to get caught up in all this distraction and trying to measure up to all these standards that we're seeing all over the place.
So you sound like you are pretty well grounded in, I guess, what your values and priorities should be. How did you get to that point?
By screwing up a lot. I spent a number of years, so in my early adulthood, I was very caught up in kind of a lot of the traditional, or I guess what you'd say, like, conventional goals and aspirations. You know, it's like I wanted to make a bunch of money and start a business and travel the world and do all these cool things. And I accomplished a lot of those things, but I kind of noticed that when it really came down to it, I was doing all these things that looked amazing on paper, or that, you know, I call them like life resume things, you know, mm-hmm. like go see the Great Wall of China or whatever. But
right.
When I was really being honest with myself, what the highlights of my year was like Christmas dinner with my mom and like having a beer with my childhood friend and catching up and hearing about what's going on in his life. And I kind of had this moment where I wouldn't say like it was a waste of time doing all those things. Like I enjoyed, like I'm glad I did them, but I realized that my priorities had been very superficial, and that even though I had been achieving a lot of the goals I set for myself, because my goals were so out of whack with what was making me happy, that it didn't really serve me as much as it could have.
Right, right. So how do you balance, we just have 2 minutes left, how do you balance the subtle art of not giving an F and in that little bit of us that we do need to care what some people think? Like, how do you find that balance?
We do need to care what some people think, but I think where a lot of people get into trouble is who are we caring about, and by what metric are we measuring that? You know, so it's one thing to care, you know, like if your mother like has something to say about how you're raising your kid,
right.
You know, your mother is very important to you. Your child is very important to you. This is family. Like, it's something that you should care and be considerate about. If
right.
there's some random person down the street who doesn't like the shoes you put on your kid, take them to soccer practice, a lot of people get very wound up and upset by that. And
even
though it's so inconsequential to anything important.
It's all really good lessons for us and a good reminder. And I want to let everyone know that we have a link to your book at markmanson.net. And we have one on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you, Mark, for those really great reminders that, you know, life is too short. We got to focus on the things that matter. Thank you so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be speaking with one mom who is doing work with kids with a little bit of wine. Let's find out how she does that when we return. I am delighted to have with me today Erin. She's a mom and a blogger and a lot of things in her life, because as a mom, she wears a lot of hats. She has 3 children. 8, 6, and 1. So she's very, very busy. Her blog is workkidswine.com. And you can find her on Twitter at workkidswine. I'm like getting them all in the wrong order. I want to put the wine first. So welcome, Erin, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm excited because I read online this week your post that you put up about talking to your daughters about sexism, given the current election climate. Can you tell, like, just bring us up to speed on what motivated you to write the post and the main point that you were trying to bring?
Yes. So I blog with my best friend, Heather, and my daughters are 1 and 6, but her oldest daughter is 13. And this election cycle has really, I think, impacted a lot of our kids. And if there's a sort of a silver lining to take away from the vitriol that we've seen in the news, I think it would be that some of the sexism and misogyny that we usually see kind of buried beneath the surface has really been brought to the forefront. And this puts us in the sort of the tough, but ultimately maybe good position of talking to our kids about the sexism that they probably already face and that they will continue to face as they grow towards adulthood. And so, you know, it can be very hard to talk to a toddler or a little girl and explain that some people still believe that girls can't do everything boys can do. It's important to start that conversation early. And that's why we decided to post about something that's a little bit of a serious topic for us.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, how many adult women, like my parents never talked to me about how to react when somebody says something derogatory or says something that you know, refers to the fact that I can't do something. I mean, that's just really, there's so many things that people tell us to teach our children, and that's just not one of them on the list.
Right, I agree. Well, and I have a good friend who has been in the education field for years and who really has some expertise in the subject matter. And she said the sad truth is that if we don't start talking to our daughters about this, even though it's a hard conversation, that can ultimately be more damaging because they can feel a little bit isolated or like their experience is in some way shameful. Whereas if you open the conversation and explain like, hey, the unfortunate truth is this is something that all girls deal with. What you're experiencing is really common and it's not your fault. It takes the stigma and the shame away from that conversation and takes it away from that negative place at a pretty young age.
Mm-hmm. And so how have you been talking to your children, your girls?
Mm-hmm. Well, my daughter, again, is six. And so for a child that age, you want to keep it pretty simple. We tried to watch the debates. But we did have a conversation afterwards that Donald Trump has said some things about women that aren't very nice. There are some people who still, even in this day and age, will say things like that. Things that imply that how a woman looks is more important than her intellectual ability, that some people will say girls can't do all the things that boys can do. And I need you to know that that is not true. That is wrong. And this is an old way of thinking, and we don't believe this. Now, my blogging partner, Heather, who has a 13-year-old, has had a little bit more of a detailed conversation with her about how people will say things to her like, oh, how did you get so interested in volleyball? How did you get so interested in computer games? And then even that kind of thing has a little bit of a, has an assumption that that's not something girls should do. So she's had much more detailed and much more direct conversations with her teenager.
I want to remind everybody that your blog is workkidswine.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. And I want to thank you so much for bringing such a important topic to us today and on your blog, because it's just really, really good content. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a great week and happy Halloween. There are so many important topics that we as moms need to cover. And I just want to remind you that you can tweet at me at Mom Talk Radio and suggest those topics, and we'll go out and find the experts and we'll bring them here to Mom Talk Radio, because that's what this show is all about. It's about addressing the things that are most important to you and I in raising our children. I got to tell you right now, I'm going through college applications with one of my children, and nobody teaches you how to manage college applications. And so that's a topic that you think, okay, it's years until you get here, but it's never too early to learn. And we'll be finding someone really quickly to bring that to Mom Talk Radio. But for now, we are going to turn our attention, when we return, to the author of Leader Designed, Become the Leader You Were Made to Be. Dana White will be joining us when we return.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
We are joined today by Dana W. White. She is the author of Leader Designed, Become the Leader You Were Made to Be. She's been a speechwriter and advisor to CEOs and of three global 500 companies. And two U.S. senators, and many, many more. She's a very smart woman who knows how to put her words to use, and I'm delighted to have her on Mom Talk Radio to share some of her words with us. So welcome, Dana.
Hi.
As moms, we raise our children, and early on, we wonder, does my child have what it takes to be a leader? What's your view on who becomes a leader?
I think the best indication is a sense of perseverance and a sense of self. And I think for parents, giving your child a really great sense of who they can be instills their own sense of purpose and allows them and gives them the courage to be who they need to be in life.
And so how do you breed that sense of self?
Well, you know, the first and foremost is, you know, having those traits in yourself. You know, leadership is really by example. And so being a courageous person who, you know, adopting the attributes that you'd love to see in your children, adopting them in your own behaviors. One thing that I remember my mother used to always do is when I was a kid, we never passed a Salvation Army kettle without putting in some money. And we saw them, you know, multiple times during the day, and my mother would always put money in. And today, I still can't pass a Salvation Army kettle and not put money in. And so I think we have to think about our own examples. How much do you give of yourself? How kind are you to other people? How helpful? Your children are watching you, and they're emulating you. And so great leaders really support and encourage other people. So, you know, even in your own marriage, like, how supportive of a family are you?
Yeah, that's a good thought. When I see a behavior of a child, I always look toward the mom and I always go, okay, apple tree, you know, that's my way of saying the apple does not fall far from the tree. And I think sometimes we get mad at our kids because we know who we want to be and they're not showing those qualities in themselves, you know, so we get frustrated. But you're right on there. What do you think it means to be a leader? Like, that's a really good question, I think, right now as we are moving into the elections. Like, what is a leader?
So I've really built leadership around three pillars, and it's about having a vision. Do you have a vision that you can articulate, a big, expansive vision that's beyond you? You know, lots of people know what they want. But can you articulate a vision that other people can see themselves in? I always give the example of, you know, Reagan and Morning in America. Like, can you articulate something that will appeal to more than you? And then second of all, can you serve other people? All great leaders, at the end of the day, are servants. They serve in order for a larger cause. They want something bigger, and they're willing to sacrifice. I used to work in the Defense Department, and you learn that a great deal with the military. They're humbled and privileged when they're given the responsibility to serve others, and they see as their top responsibility, a general, is making sure that their troops eat first. Generals eat last, the chapter in the book. And that's about, you're the ones out there, and I'm here to help you. These stars exist to help you do what you need to do. And then the third thing is empower. A lot of leaders can, you know, spout a vision, and some can serve, but can you empower? And empowering is really about letting go. It's about giving someone else the tools to be who they need to be, no matter how that might actually outshine you or what it might mean for you. Because, again, if you're committed to your vision and you're committed to service, then you want someone to live their dream. You want them to move the ball forward, even if that leaves you behind. And I think that is the most difficult part for all leaders.
Yeah, that's a big role, that's for sure. So what about faith? How does faith play into all of this?
So what I talk about in terms of faith is a way, is an investment that we can all make in one another. And, you know, leaders are often talked about in terms of presidents and CEOs and senators. But the fact of the matter is, what leaders at the end of the day do is they invest faith in another person. And that's why parents are the most important leaders, because parents can deposit daily, make daily deposits of faith in their children every day. If it's, I want you to do great today, I know you're going to have a fabulous day. Talk about things the way they should be, the way you want to see them. Because human beings tend to go towards what they hear and what they can sort of, they'll meet expectations, but you as a leader have to set them. So having faith in someone, saying, I know you're going to do great on your test. It's going to be fine. I know you're having trouble with that little girl today, but you know what? This could be the day when she leaves you alone. And then that kid is like, you know, she's right. Mom has faith in me. Dad has faith in me. My brothers and sisters have faith in me. And once someone puts a lot of faith in you, it's a lot easier to pay it forward. Because when you see someone who's kind of down or someone who has very little faith, that's someone who someone hasn't put a lot of faith in. And again, I think we can all do that. You can say, hey, I really appreciate, I see you every day here at the coffee shop. I really appreciate what you do. Because everyone wants to matter. And I think when we say thank you and we say, hey, I have faith in you, I think it's you're gonna be great today. And it doesn't mean to lie to people. It does not to say everything's awesome. But it is to say that you can do and be whoever you want to be, and I believe in you. And all of us can say that in any walk of life that we're in.
Right. I love the line that you use, that everybody wants to know they matter. Even the checkout clerk who's helping you at Walmart or what, they in that moment they want to know that they matter to you and matter to someone. So I love that advice. And the best thing is that our kids are going to watch as we exhibit that to other people.
And that's the real key, because what happens is people will follow people who have put faith in them, who invest faith mm-hmm. in them. You'd follow someone anywhere who said, you know, I had experience with Senator McCain, and Senator McCain, I'd give him a speech I'd written, and I'd say, okay, but Senator, don't you want to read it before you go to the floor? And he would say, Dana, if you wrote it, I'm sure it's great. Now, he hadn't read it. He didn't know. But he had faith in me. And every time I wrote a speech, you know, I looked it over a couple more times. I wanted to make it better because he had faith in me. And it took him less than 30 seconds to get that much more effort out of me every time I did something for him, because that's how much power faith has in a person's life. And it doesn't take long. It's not the big thing. It's the small, consistent things. And especially with children, that is you just have to be disciplined in terms of daily, you know, consistent investment in them and telling them you can do this.
Right. Well, that's some great advice. And you can go find out more about Dana White by going to danawhite.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a link to her book on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be doing some yoga. Yes, yoga, right here on the radio.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited to have with us today Laurel Katz Bowen. She is a native New Yorker and the mom of two, but more importantly, not more importantly than being a mom, but important for us, she is the founder of Harlem Yoga Studio, and she got so many credentials behind her. And most important as well, she is a doula and a lactation counselor, and she's all things prenatal. And we love that here on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Laurel, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, why it's important when you're pregnant to stay active and how yoga fits into that.
Prenatal yoga is one of the best ways to stay fit when you're pregnant, and also to really stay in touch with your baby and your body. Being in touch with how your body feels is really important in terms of getting in touch with your intuition as a mom and knowing your body well for labor and delivery is essential.
And so tell me, like, what kind of activities you recommend in particular?
Well, in prenatal yoga, we do a lot of exercises to strengthen and become more aware of the muscles of the pelvic floor. And we also do a lot of exercises that relieve lower back pain, that help increase circulation to lower your chances of having varicose veins, and keep you more comfortable and relaxed during pregnancy. And we also teach a lot of relaxation techniques that are really useful for managing all the stress we have as pregnant women, mothers, and definitely for managing the sensations of labor.
You forget how much impacts the whole labor and delivery. So I want to talk a little bit about you being a doula. And I think a lot of us know what a doula is, but we really don't know what a doula is. So can you talk a little bit about why a mom might or a woman might consider using a doula?
Yeah, so a doula provides emotional support during labor, and they also have a lot of information so they can help you, even before birth, make some informed decisions about what you want and what you consider a satisfying birth experience. And they're also with you afterwards in postpartum to kind of relive and retell your birth story, which is also an extremely important part of giving birth and becoming a mother.
What you're describing sounds like something that my husband might provide for me. So what's the difference?
Well, the thing that happens with partners is that they feel like they have to be responsible for caring for you emotionally and navigating a really complicated new hospital situation, potentially, or home birth situation, and everything's new to them. So first of all, a doula is somebody who is really experienced and has been there before, and this isn't overwhelming and new, and they don't have the same depth of emotional responsibility to the laboring woman, to the mommy. So they're able to be there for you, but also not be as concerned as your partner may be. Many of the husbands find themselves very worried, feeling very overwhelmed and stressed, and to have somebody else there who is kind of maybe more of a sister or mother type of support network person. I feel like doulas are closer to that. They're like a sister that you can rely on to be there for you, but to also have been experienced and calm and not as attached.
It makes perfect sense. So how do you find the right one? Because it seems like there needs to be some personal chemistry there.
Yeah, well, you definitely should interview a couple of doulas. And I think that whether a doula is pretty new to it or has been to hundreds of births, it really does have to do with how you feel when you meet them. And it's the vibe, for lack of a better word. You're going to feel connected or not connected to that person when you meet them. And I think you can trust your instincts. I think it's one of the things that moms really need to learn to do is trust their instincts. And choosing a doula is a great time to do that.
And just a final question. What about after we give birth? What is the best workout to get us back into shape and just help us feel good, get some energy going?
Postpartum yoga is also really great, and many yoga studios have baby and me or postpartum yoga, and a huge part of that is toning the muscles of the pelvic floor again. One thing that's really nice about baby and me is that you're bringing your baby with you to do this stuff, so you can care for your baby at the same time. You can meet other mommies in your community, so it helps you feel better holistically.
And how early can we start that?
Usually, mommies wait until they're cleared from their care provider, which is usually after that first postpartum visit. But if you're feeling really good and you didn't have any complications during your birth, you can go to a gentle postpartum yoga class as soon as you're ready. I would say we rarely see a mom with a baby younger than 3 weeks because mommies are pretty tired and they're getting adjusted to their new lifestyle.
Right. Well, I want to let everybody know that we have a link to the Harlem Yoga Studio on Mom Talk Radio. Really great stuff, and I appreciate you spending some of your day with us. So thank you, Laurel, so much for joining us here on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to take a look back at what we were doing last Halloween on Mom Talk Radio. Stuff out there right now. Our kids are in and out of the cold, whether you live in Michigan or you live in sunny South Florida. It's just a nasty time of the year for our children. And so we brought in the doctor, Dr. Daniel McGee. He's a pediatric hospitalist at Helen DeVos Children's Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He has been seen on air in a whole bunch of different places, including the John Tesh radio show. And he's won a number of awards. And he's here today to talk about something that drives my husband crazy, a cough. Because a cough has so many clues to other things. And it literally, my husband cannot stand to hear my kids cough. So Dr. McGee is going to help us define what those coughs mean. So welcome, Dr. McGee, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about coughs and why are they important and what we should know about them.
Well, there are different kinds of coughs, and different coughs can help give you a clue towards what the cause of the cough is. For example, one of the most popular ones is the barking seal cough that's associated with croup. I'm not going to try to do an imitation on the radio, but it's the child actually will sound like they're barking, kind of more like a seal honking, too.
And, okay, and then there's the kind that kind of get a little phlegmy, right?
Well, yes, if you have more of a productive cough where you're bringing up mucus and stuff, this can be more of a sign of some type of an infection either in the upper respiratory tract or the lower respiratory tract. Not every cough that brings up mucus is caused by bacteria, so not every cough that brings up mucus necessarily needs an antibiotic.
Why do they last for so long?
Well, it depends on the cause of the cough, and that's one of the things that will help you to steer me towards the diagnosis. If you have a cough that's persistent, say, lasting more than a week or two, that can be any one of a number of things. You have to think about, particularly if the cough occurs every night, you have to think about asthma. If it's a real bad coughing episodes that go on and on and on, and the child starts to turn colors, and this lasts more than a week, then one of the things you have to think about is whooping cough, which is making a resurgence in the United States.
Yeah, it is. So what do we need to know as far as, like, what's next when, you know, our child has a cough, we think we, you know, we can pretty much define it as a barking, or when do we go to the pediatrician?
Well, there's a couple times you should go. The absolute number one is if you notice that your child is working hard to breathe. If they're making an effort to breathe and it's just not coming naturally, then that's a sign you need to go to the pediatrician. I think another time would be if the cough lasts for more than a week, then that would be an indication that you need to go to the pediatrician. Also, if there's color change, particularly in the infant, if the child is turning red or purple or even blue with the cough, and that would be a time that the child should be seen.
And you know, do you recommend taking their temperature at home or anything, you know, that we can do at home? My husband always hands him a glass of water, like that's going to help.
Well, I think sometimes it can help if there's some irritation in the back of the throat. You get into an annoying cycle. You cough, that irritates the lungs, which make and the airways. That makes you cough more. So a little humidity can help. A little drink of water might even help. As far as temperature goes, when my kids were growing up, we didn't even have a thermometer in the house, and that's because I was more concerned with how the child looked. If they looked miserable, they were acting miserable, that prompted me into action. I'm more inclined to treat the child rather than the thermometer.
Oh, very interesting. So you have a website, spectrumhealth.org is where we could find you. And I'm sure that we can find a lot more information about coughs. And we have links to YouTube videos. How proactive is this, where you can actually hear a cough and compare it to your child? Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. McGee, and stay warm up there in Grand Rapids.
It's zero right now. So we'll try.
Yeah. Well, it's not much warmer in Florida, I hate to tell you. So thank you. And I want to thank you guys listening to Mom Talk Radio. It's been another fantastic show here in our 20th year. We just keep going. It's like the ever-ready battery. We just keep going. We keep going. But thank you for keeping us on the air for all those years. And we'll see you again next week. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. 20 years ago, we had no idea Twitter would even be here. But we're there now, and you can find us there. I'm Maria Bailey. Have a great week, everybody.